Walmart is shifting its business strategy. The company is evolving over time, and when Walmart makes a business decision, it matters a lot. Think about this. Walmart is the third largest employer in the world. It trails only the U.S. Defense Department and China's People's Liberation Army. In other words, Walmart is the world's largest employer that does not operate large numbers of tanks and artillery. As the nation's biggest retailer, it influences what other retailers do. When Walmart pushed down prices, its suppliers cut costs by moving overseas. And when Walmart announced it would boost wages, competitors like Target followed suit. So we're going to spend some time examining Walmart's past and future. This company, known for stores in small towns and suburbs, is pushing into center cities. Some local governments are pushing back. There was great controversy before Walmart opened up two stores in Washington, D.C. a little more than a year ago. One of those two Walmarts is just down the street from NPR's headquarters in a changing neighborhood, and our colleague David Green starts our story there.
I am standing right now in downtown Washington, D.C., at a street corner that really is a reflection of the changing face of the nation's capital. This is a place where power and poverty meet. And from right here, I can see the dome of the U.S. Capitol. And across the street from me, there's a complex of concrete public housing. There's kind of a sleek new Peruvian chicken restaurant right there. And there is Walmart. You can see skylights inside. And on the outside, it's, you know, like a 4 or 5 story building, very urban. This is defying all stereotypes of the big box store we think about. The fact that Walmart chose a place on the cusp of change really gives you an idea of where this company sees its future. And for the next 2 days, we're going to explore different facets of Walmart. It's America's largest retailer, and it sets trends for the country's economy and its workforce. Now, before we talk about the future, we need to remember how Walmart became the powerhouse it is today, and largely that was in rural communities. Walmart is still arriving in rural places, and we want to turn to one of those places where my colleague Debbie Elliott is right now. It's Robertsdale, Alabama. Debbie's on the line. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. So paint me a picture of where you are exactly.
So I'm in this small town. It's Robertsdale, Alabama, population about 6,000 people. And I am sitting out in the parking lot where the garden department has sort of spilled out. There are pink potted azaleas for sale. This is your typical Walmart big box store.
Debbie, I mean, it was the sense that local mom-and-pop businesses would just go under whenever a Walmart would come to town. Was that part of the debate in Robertsdale, that these low prices Walmart charges really drive local businesses out?
You know, it was not. The mayor here, Charles Murphy, met me in front of the store to talk a little bit about the impact. He says while there wasn't a huge political outcry, there was a little bit of concern.
Where we have seen the most competition that they have generated has been through the other two local grocery store chains.
On the other hand, Mayor Murphy says since the Walmart opened here, other local stores have actually seen a bit of a bump in walk-in traffic.
Actually, what you're doing, you're just building a bigger pie. With the production of this store, probably on an average, they're pushing somewhere around 2,000 cars a day. So if you're a local business, then what you want to try to do is try to capture some of those customers that are coming to Walmart to come to your business, because now you've got something that stops them in Robertsdale.
Already you can sort of see how Walmart is beginning to shape the economy here. There's construction underway in the out parcels here. I talked with Mayor Murphy about that as well, and he thinks that Walmart can be a catalyst for new business. And in fact, it brought some state investment, $1 million the state of Alabama put into improving the roadways around here. And when the mayor looks out over the new corner that's been put in here, he sees potential for more commercial development on the south end of his town. And that's all because the Walmart came.
Deb, you cover rural America often. I guess I just wonder, as you look back 10, 15 years, people were so concerned about losing the look of their towns when a Walmart would come, small businesses being driven out. The fact that it sounds like there are more people accepting of this, that you say large chains like Walmart arrive and there's less opposition, what does that say about rural America today?
Well, I just think that the changes over the last 20 years have taken root and people don't notice them the way that they once did. Now, most people have probably shopped at a Walmart somewhere, even if not in their hometown.
That's NPR's Debbie Elliott, who is talking to us from a new Walmart in the city of Robertsdale, Alabama. Deb, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Now, as we mentioned, Walmart is really trying to move into communities that look very different from the one that Debbie was just describing to us. And I'm standing in one of those places. We're in downtown Washington, D.C. This Walmart looks entirely different. I'm standing here with NPR's Uri Berliner, who's been spending some time here. And Uri, tell me what this means. What is Walmart's strategy that brings them to a place like this?
Well, Walmart, if it wants to grow, it has to be in big cities. It's saturated the small towns and suburbs of America. It's everywhere. But in northeastern cities and west coast cities, that's really where Walmart has been blocked, or it hasn't really established a presence in walking cities, in blue state cities.
And this looks so different. We should say where we're standing. I mean, there's a bike rack here. It's like urban bike sharing. I mean, this neighborhood is just, it doesn't scream Walmart.
Right. There's the bike share. There's a Starbucks around the corner, a luxury apartment building. And one thing you'll notice is that people are walking into the stores on foot. You don't see that in your suburban Walmart.
All the differences, does that mean different challenges for the company as they come to places like this?
A lot of different challenges. There are challenges of design. There's challenges of political opposition that they might not face in the small town or suburb. And then there's challenge of what do you put in the store? And David, I've spent some time in the store, and why don't we meet some of the people I've met?
I got a rotisserie chicken and a card in my prescription.
That's Donna Thomas. She's walked over to this Walmart near Capitol Hill on her lunch break. Thomas is an executive assistant at Comcast.
It's very practical for me, you know, because a lot of times when I don't have a lot of time to go shopping, so it's just convenient. I can just come in here, grab something, and go.
We're living in grab-and-go times. Meals planned out days in advance? That's just not happening. Justin Massa is the founder of a company called Food Genius that analyzes data for the food industry.
Depending on the version of the survey that you look at, somewhere between 70 to 80% of us don't know what we're going to have for dinner at about 4 p.m.
That's one reason freshly prepared foods are so important to Walmart and its competitors like Target and the big grocery chains. And in densely populated cities like Washington, ready-to-go is even more of a focus.
So in some stores, we might sell lots of iceberg lettuce, for example.
Doran Wenninger is vice president for produce and floral at Walmart U.S.
But in the Washington, D.C. stores, you may see us selling much more of prepared salads or kits or the full salad bistro bowls, which are really on fire.
Back at the store, Morgan Jones is buying one of those prepared salads. It's Southwest style, marked down to $1.99 from $3.98. Yep, he likes the price.
Go to the store, it just costs you $10 in a restaurant. It's a good deal, $1.99. Probably my lunch and my dinner. Yeah. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of lettuce and stuff, and it's really nice.
Jones is studying hospitality at a local community college. His verdict on Walmart? Salads? Nice. Labor practices? Not as nice.
They have a lot of problems. Sometimes they don't treat the cashiers right. They don't treat them right. So, you know, they won't talk about it, but they don't treat the people right sometimes.
In this way, Jones is like many Walmart customers. Any qualms they may have about worker pay or Chinese imports or Walmart's obliteration of the mom-and-pop store downtown, they're outweighed by those low prices.
I think it's a good deal. They need to treat the people a little bit better here, but other than that, it's a good deal.
As Walmart seeks a stronghold in big cities, it needs to do more than offer good deals. The company has plenty of competition, and not just from dollar stores and grocery chains. Walmart is battling it out with restaurants, where, according to Justin Massa of Food Genius, Americans are spending half of their food dollars.
If you look in dense urban areas, you will see that kind of split between grocery and restaurants go from, roughly 50-50 to, 70-30, 80-20 in favor of restaurants.
And in big cities, Walmart must cater to a different kind of customer. Customers arriving by foot or bus, customers with smaller refrigerators and not much storage space. Customers like Chife Xie, a law student at Georgetown. He's buying just what he can carry back home, 5 minutes away.
Just some salad, some bananas, yogurt, milk, cereal, and some ramen noodles.
That last voice there, one of the customers NPR's Uri Berliner met inside the Walmart here in downtown Washington, D.C. I'm standing with Uri outside the Walmart. And Uri, really totally different territory, different questions for this company in a place like this.
A lot of challenges here. Customers coming into their stores on foot, buying fewer items at a time. Customers who walk away from the store with their groceries in a backpack instead of a car or an SUV. Very different kind of customer here.
And fierce opposition when Walmart has come into cities. I mean, like they were used to facing in the past, but a different kind here, right?
There was a big fight to get two Walmart stores into Washington, D.C., and there are several cities like Boston and New York and Seattle and San Francisco, where there's still no Walmarts. There's often a fight, especially when Walmart comes into big cities.
And some of those fights have been about jobs. We're going to hear more about that in our next installment on Walmart as that reporting goes on. NPR's Ari Berliner, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, David.